My dear brother priests and deacons, seminarians, and all dear friends in the Lord Jesus. As you know, Pope Francis has accepted Bishop Bransfield's resignation and has appointed me to serve in the meantime as Apostolic Administrator of the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston. What this really means is that I will be your interim pastor in this Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston. It will be my duty and my privilege and my joy to serve, if only temporarily, as your pastor, as your shepherd, to care for you as members of the Lord's flock, and to journey with you toward healing, reconciliation, and a hopeful future. We've all been jarred by the news regarding Bishop Bransfield, in particular, the allegations of sexual harassment of adults leveled against him, allegations which now must be carefully and fairly investigated. The Vatican has instructed me as Apostolic Administrator both to announce and to conduct an investigation, the results of which I shall submit to the Holy Father for his judgment. I assure you that this investigation will begin promptly, and that while I have been asked to oversee it, it will actually be conducted by competent laypersons with the necessary skills. The goal of this investigation is to arrive at the truth and at justice for the good of the individuals involved and for the common good of the church that we love so much. Please pray for an abundance of God's wisdom that this process might proceed in a manner that is just, thorough, efficient, and ultimately in a manner that proves to be a source of healing. I have actually spent the last 3 days here in Wheeling taking a crash course on the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston. I did this through a series of meetings with diocesan officials and with consultative bodies, such as the Finance Council and the Priest Consultors. Given the fact that I remain as Archbishop of Baltimore, I shall try to devote as much time as I possibly can in serving you by offering Mass in different places around the diocese and, to the extent possible, meeting with priests, deacons, seminarians, religious, and members of the laity. Please pray that I will have the stamina that is necessary for doing double duty. This is also giving me newfound sympathy for pastors and priests who must serve two or three or even four parishes. As you know only too well, all of what I have just described is said in the context of the wider sexual abuse scandal currently rocking the church. Allow me, if you would, to say a word about that. In the wake of the Archbishop McCarrick scandal and the Pennsylvania grand jury report, many people, no doubt many of you, find yourselves angry and bewildered. The unspeakable crimes perpetrated by many clerics against the vulnerable, including those who have risen to the church's highest ranks, coupled with the failure of some bishops to respond to allegations of abuse with candor and thoroughness. All of this has created a crisis of trust. Many wonder, as you must wonder, if they can trust the church's leaders. As this crisis has deepened, people are asking for action, and action now. You rightly ask, what will be done? What will be different? What is in place to prevent such terrible things from happening again? And while it will take some time to get to the bottom of troubling questions and to put into place an across-the-board plan of action, I can report that deliberations between the Holy Father and the American bishops are well underway. And these discussions pertain primarily to ways of holding bishops accountable for their own conduct and their misconduct, and accountable for failing to deal properly with allegations of abuse. As proposed, these initiatives would call upon the leadership and the expertise of the laity. It's my hope and prayer that such measures will be implemented as quickly as possible. In the meantime, there are things that can and are being done here in the diocese. For example, ensuring that our seminarians receive a very sound priestly formation. Continuing the diocesan policy of fully and transparently cooperating with all levels of law enforcement. Continuing to seek the direction of an independent lay review board so as to strengthen diocesan policies for the protection of children and to root out from our midst anyone who might threaten the innocent and the vulnerable. Above all, I pledge to reach out to anyone who has been harmed by a representative of the church, whether it be a cleric or a layperson, in the hope of bringing some measure of comfort, of healing, and of closure. I'd also like to mention the good work that's being done in our parishes, schools, and other ministries for the protection of children and young people, such as implementing mandated policies designed to protect the vulnerable, things like background checks, fingerprinting, training for clergy and laity, as well as for volunteers who work with young people. Thank you also for promptly reporting overt behaviors that endanger the young and for being alert to those telltale signs of such behavior, telltale signs that current training enables us to recognize more clearly. And you should know that all allegations are reviewed not only by the diocese, but also by the independent lay review board. But with all of that said, we cannot forget that we have a long, long way to go. A long way to go to achieve healing and reconciliation. But it is a journey that I wish to make with you. It's a journey that stretches from Williamson, Bluefield, Princeton, and Sweet Springs to Somerville, Charleston, Huntington, and Parkersburg. a journey that extends to Clarksburg, Fairmont, Morgantown, and Weirton, a journey that goes from Wheeling to the entire eastern panhandle, including Martinsburg, Charlestown, and Shepherdstown. Even as I continue to serve the Archdiocese of Baltimore, I shall do my best, with your prayers and God's grace, to be a humble instrument of healing, reconciliation, and stability as we prepare the way for a new bishop and for a future full of hope. How we might do this is well described for us in tonight's gospel. In that gospel, we find Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, declaring that Jesus is the Messiah of God. Whether times are good or bad, peaceful or filled with controversy, we must unite, my friends, in proclaiming Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us not forget that even now, Jesus truly loves us in his church, even when we fail him, even when we sin. And having confessed Jesus as Messiah and Lord to be the foundation of the church and of our lives as members of the church, we must not make Peter's mistake of trying to remake Jesus into a Messiah who conforms to our thoughts and opinions and ways of thinking. Rather, we must get behind Jesus and we must follow him, knowing that our journey inevitably leads to the cross. In these distressing days, you are being asked to carry a heavy cross indeed. But if you allow me to do so, I will try to be a Simon of Cyrene who will help you carry your cross and follow after the Lord in the weeks and the months that lie ahead. And let us not forget where the cross leads us, not to unending death, but rather to the new life of the resurrection. This is the mystery that we celebrate at every Mass: death to oneself, death to one's sin, followed by a resurgence of God's grace, leading you and me day by day to that eternal day when every tear will be wiped away, that unending day when we shall see the risen Lord face to face, the crucified and risen Messiah, whose name we have proclaimed, whether in season or out of season, whether convenient or inconvenient. So once again, I am honored to serve you. I promise you my prayers. And please, my friends, do remember me in your prayers now and again. And may God bless us all and keep us in his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.